That's a good way to look at it too, is just start eliminating them and all.
I actually thought
Gideon.
Gideon is a good one.
Because it said God was patient with him, and when he wasn't sure of his faith, God showed him, patiently showed him. And then whenever his faith was proved, he fought with all the battle.
I guess I didn't put down Gideon because the idols, the end, and I guess the fact that of all the judges, God had to show him the most sign to convince him. And so as a result, I guess I ended up putting down Jephthah because it seemed like the least needing to convince him to do what needed to be done. And the fact that he just reeled off all that stuff, you know, about why are you picking on us? You know, what is your right? So I lean there, but then you got the whole thing with the vow, so you really...
Deborah probably isn't the best one.
Yeah. Yeah. Now she... now...
Clear our head and above, shoulders above all of them.
So, and I guess the... what I was thinking as I was putting down and had debated Deborah as I was kind of doing that kind of art and stuff here. So Deborah, in a sense, is almost more the prophet or the spokesperson for God. You know, so then you got to look at Barak and how... So, but, you know, you'd say immediately Deborah, but then kind of I was prepping for the class, I was kind of saying, is Deborah, you know...
She's not really the judge.
Not really. She is a judge, but not...
not the kind that
you're not the kind that we're talking about. Okay. So, I guess you could pin down or you can fill out whatever as you're finishing up. Wayne, could you lead us an opening prayer for the class?
Let's all pray. Oh God in heaven, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in this class and to learn about the judges, how you helped your people of old. We acknowledge your goodness, and your grace, and your mercy, and your long suffering, and your forgiveness. Even then, and we recognize that those same characteristics are yours today. We benefit from them. And in so many ways, we are like those people of old. We need all those things from you. Father, we are grateful for the example, we're grateful for the lesson that we learn in the book of Judges. Be with Danny and the other teachers today as they lead us and guide us in the study of your word. We pray in Christ's name.
Amen. So, really, the number one thing in kind of looking at this test is sort of comparing how you felt from the first. Were you able to fill out a few more things? To know a little bit more than the first test? If you're able to do that, then we succeeded to a certain extent in the class. So, at all. And it is a hard test, plus especially to do it in the amount of time that you have. You have to write fast. So, we kind of hit a couple there. Anyone else want to speak up and vote for their favorite judge?
Well, we know the least about Shanbar, so I guess you'd be the same.
You're going with the one verse judge. Yeah.
One of the things about Gideon was, I think you may have mentioned before, you know, the similarities with... when Moses was called. I cannot see those two as not a significant event.
And that, you know, when I say, well, it took so much to convince him, that's a very good point. It took a lot to convince Moses to move. So that's a very good point there. And that, I think, you know, for us, you know, Judges, so much of it is teaching us to have faith in God, right? To be that deliverer, to be... And as we kind of look really at that end, it's like that Levite working for Micah. He never said no. You know, that's the person who said, hold on a second, this is the law. And so being that person, and that's really all the judge, right? That they were out the front there. They were the ones saying, guys, we got to get together. We got, you know, to do this. And so that process of Gideon, you know, we could put ourselves in Gideon's spot a lot there, right? And say, okay, Lord, show me, you know, that these guys are like locusts and you want me to go after them. So that's a good one. Any other one person really want to put forth their judge?
You don't give Deborah any credit for being female in those years.
Yes. Yes. And that, I think, is
where I didn't hear you give her any
credit. I didn't.
I think she deserves a lot of credit.
Yes, she does. And that's the reason.
She's an amazing woman in those years.
And that's the reason, you know, it's kind of interesting because if we were to put, and how have we been putting those? We listed them as Deborah Barak, right? Samson just says Barak, and it just says Barak in Hebrew, in the book of Hebrews. But again, we kind of look and say, you just realize what Deborah was able to do, and so we end up kind of saying Deborah Barak. But that's really kind of, if you look at that whole episode, I mean, did Barak get the credit for it? No. You know, he said, listen, you know, you're saying I have to come with you, so it's a woman that's going to finish the job.
Sounds to me like a strong leader.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And that, and with Deborah, you know, remember when we were doing the class, she's the only one, when we kind of looked at Bill Sanchez, that kind of lesson he gave, and says, you know, part of the process is giving thanks. And we kind of were noticing most of these cases, we were kind of missing the thanks. That song of Deborah, I mean, she stands out from all the others, all the other episodes, in the fact that she gave thanks.
So anyway, my vote was for Deborah.
Okay. And, I mean, we can't knock, I don't see anywhere where we can knock her on that, so.
I'm all in for Deborah, too.
Okay.
I have to
look
for Deborah.
All right. So Deborah, part of Deborah's, I think we should argue that is that she was a leader maker. She called Barak and said, has not God commanded you? It's almost like he already knew. He lived up there during that
year. Yeah.
Barak wouldn't have been the man he was.
Oh, no.
For Deborah.
I think there's a place for people who aren't able to be elders, whatever role, to support elders. And maybe even say to them, here's something you can try, and if you try, I'll be right there behind you when you need it. And they stood on the mountain and looked down at all those chariots arrayed in the valley of Israel. And she poked him in the side and said, okay, go. You know, I don't know if she had to push him down the hill and say, you know what, it's right now. And the timing was critical, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Storm and everything like that. And so anyway, she didn't even intend to go to battle with him, but he needed that, so she did. And there were a lot of other, in that story, a lot of other tribes that said, okay, we're with you, whoever you are, however kind of girl prepared you are, Barak, we'll show up and help however we can. I mean, I think that's huge lesson, that we need to be leader makers, pushing people into the roles they could play, and signing up to follow them, and encouraging them where they are missing a place, and that's absolutely does not require position or authority or recognition or title or so am I signing up for Deborah?
I think so.
I'll vote in favor of Deborah.
Makes me think of, isn't there a saying nowadays, behind every good man is a woman or something?
Well, she calls herself a mother in Israel. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what mothers are supposed to do?
Yeah.
Is make leaders.
And that, I mean, again, you know, of the people that are presented to us, she, I mean, just, as you say, quality after quality you can mark, and fulfilling that role of what she was in the land. And really, if you look at kind of, you know, we're not studying Ruth there, but we always point, kind of we point, right, that whole story of Ruth, is, you know, we're looking at all this despair. And so that role of Ruth and her family, of Naomi, and all of that that's going there. So, And we ask the question, right? You know, what's the difference between Abimelech and Jephthah, right? I mean, Abimelech, the whole thing with Abimelech, you know, son of a concubine, we have no appearance of any interest in following the Lord, right? Or recognizing the Lord. He's acting like a Canaanite king. Whereas Jephthah, the son of a prostitute, so kind of both the same sort of situation, very similar.
Cast out by
his family. But his mother, someone, was teaching Jephthah. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, I mean, even the vow that we just kind of shake our head at, he obeyed it. Whereas we go with this whole thing with Benjamite, the Gibeah, chronic Gibeah, they're trying every which way they can to get around that vow. And so...
Jephthah seems to have a view of history, too. He recounts the whole thing.
Yeah.
Goes back to the journeys of the Israelites that before they entered the land.
And, you know, someone has been teaching him. And really, I think, you know, one of the lessons learned, you know, some of it, we're kind of doing a good merging of those lessons learned, which is awesome, is that, you know, the big failure was the Levites weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, right? But what we see there is with Deborah, with whoever taught Jephthah, I mean, even Gideon, although kind of throwing back the opposite, you know, where have you been? Why aren't you where were your fathers? There was some teaching going on, and very good chance that it was those mothers that were doing the teaching because the priests weren't doing their job.
Well, but everybody's got
to learn. Any other lessons y'all
learned? Well, I think just in Deborah being a leader who inspired leadership, when you look at how she talks to Barak, she talks in questions. So she lets him come to, she's not next to nag. I mean, I think there's a lesson there in how to be a servant leader, how to approach those things. I think there's also, you know, the thing that kind of lives on in her words is her song.
Yes.
This story that she tells and the teaching that she does in that way, I think, is really pretty brilliant if you look at her method.
Yes. And again, that's why do we look at, why do we teach our kids Judges? There are good lessons to be learned there. Why are those judges mentioned as heroes of faith? Because there's lessons learned. They're examples that what's read there, we can see and understand. Not perfect people, but when what needed to be done for the Lord was done, they did it. And again, 900 armed chariots. Who wants to go up against 900 tanks? Anybody here? I mean, they were the tanks of the time period. You know, that's pretty crazy. But the Lord is on their side. And so, what in our adding up of things, just get kind of all thrown out because the Lord's involved there. All right. So, rather than calling it the Book of Judges, we could call it the Book of Deliverers. I think we got that. Everyone hopefully should there. And it really, you know, that whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and he saved them from the hands of the enemy. And that's, you know, kind of one of the questions there, you know, where, you know, do we see the Lord recognized or commented on? And, you know, we just went through, and at this rate we'll never make it to the slide in the deck, that, you know, again, where the Lord, you know, the judges recognized the victory was from the Lord. I was going to say with Jephthah there, you know, there, you know, I therefore have not, you know, sinned against you, and you do not wrong me by making, you wrong me by making war. The Lord, the judge, decide this day. So it was the Lord that was involved, and that was the people's problems, right? That, why were they doing everything that was right in their own sight? Because they weren't recognizing we've got this spiritual king. That there is this absolute. And, you know, why do we have the issues, the problems we have today? Everyone's doing right what's in their own sight. You know, they say there is no absolutes. And so we are living in the days of the judges. And so the lesson, hopefully, that you've learned kind of coming out of this class, it is so important to study, to know what God wants. Because, you know, we lay out, I mean, Joshua, Deuteronomy lays out, this is what God wanted. This was the ideal situation. And we put that measurement, that rod, that ruler, against the behavior in the days of the judges. And, I mean, they just, you know, dismal is the word there. But, you know, it's interesting because, and this is, you know, that the Lord saved them from the hands of the enemies in all the days of the judges. That kind of, that mercy, the compassion of the Lord, that they were given a chance, sort of a reset, weren't they? That during those days of the judges, they could have get their act together. But what we have, every time that judge dies, and we begin the cycle again. The slide after this one. Okay, our three parts of the book.
Conditions,
judges, cultural decline. And our we start with the people in sin, servitude, it gets so bad, and then salvation. So that cycle just repeats over and over again. And there's our judges. We've gone through all of those. Everyone do their charts pretty well. I even got my my tribes in the right spot, which I had troubles with Asher and Zebulon and Naphtali when we were doing it the first time. Well, I got Naphtali, but Asher, Zebulon, and Issachar, I was having trouble. I knew they were around there. So anyway, our first judge was Othniel, and he's down in Debar. Then Ehud in Gilgal, kind of Jericho, a Benjamite, Shamgar, and we put him up here in Naphtali. Deborah, Barak, what two tribes were they from? Ephraim and Naphtali. Then our next judge, Gideon, and he's up in what? He's from Gilead, or no, Manasseh, I'm sorry. What? Yeah. Oprah. Oprah, Jezreel Valley. Then we have Tola, and he is. Yeah, Shemir. And then we have our Jay in a lot of cities. Jer up there in Tamar. So then we're already up in there. So we then get another Jay, Jephthah. Then we got three minor judges. Ibzan. And he's in Bethlehem. We get an E. Elon, and he is Zebulun. I always forget where he is. And then Abdon. And I have a hard time with memorizing, so I finally remembered. You know, I got the three names. I always get them in the wrong order, but they're in the wrong alphabetical order, right? Yeah. So that I finally got it. It's about time, right? And then we finish up with Samson. Okay. All right, and as we kind of said, we're in this period of about 400 years. Although we look kind of at the times, it doesn't add up to that. And so what that indicates is there's some overlapping, and most likely that overlapping is towards the end if you have a longer time period. There's even more serious overlapping if you have a late date for the conquest. So anyway, ran across, I mean, you know, first counting, I mean, the Lord did put the verses there. But anyway, it was interesting doing the verse counts that Gideon has 100, Deborah and Barak in at 55, and then Samson 96, and then Shamgar, really, it's the one verse, but Deborah mentions him, so that would give in two verses. So, and again, it just has to do with length. But just as, what, I mean, in Hebrews, these are the ones talked about. Because what we had there is, you know, they're put up as examples, right, of faith. And it's these verses telling their actions and what they did. We can go back, just, you know, as the writer says, hey, you know, remember these of faith. We can go back and look at those. So there's our chart. Everyone should have that filled out, and hopefully it's convenient to y'all as you go forward. And you got to take the standard class so you can get the last two. I debated. I pushed you to put the last two in there for this class, but I said, no, I'm not going to take Samuel. So, and again, there's kind of a structure formula there that really, I think when we look at the book of Judges, it's really meant for kind of, it's to teach a lesson, right? They're teaching lots of different lessons. And so, the author of Judges, the book of Deliverers, uses these kind of formulas. So that it's just that repetition. You know, why do we keep saying? What should we call the book? That repetition that hopefully, the next time you're sitting around looking at Judges, you think about some of these things that we've gone through. So we see again that those are used. And unfortunately, the one common thing is, right, that first one, the people did sin. There. And also, we hadn't really hit on that, but it always kind of, you know, who wants the Lord to be angry with them? And you know, you kind of have this statement, and then that statement, the Lord was angry with them. And that just, you know, I kind of, again, kind of was trying to prepare, think about it. I mean, it really, I mean, you look at it, and the people just, these people are clueless. Are these people, I mean, all of this time, all these sort of kind of resets, right, with each judge, and it's like the judge dies, and they're right back into it. And we get, you know, to Jephthah, I mean, it's that list. Every god around about them, they're worshiping. They're just mixing that in there. All right, so I worked on this one more than I should, but it was fun. So anyway, kind of our major judges, you know, Othniel, and, you know, these guys, Mesopotamia kind of came in here, and apparently is at least Judah. You know, the case here of Eglon, it uses that word, they were defeated. There, so a great battle, or really pressing there. You know, with Hazar here, that cruelly, that they were treated cruelly by the people, or by Hazar and his general there. So, and then again, just kind of the color there. So there, you're kind of active here, you know, right, because he's from Benjamin, but he gets Ephraim to help him. And then here, it's kind of all of this part, pretty much all, most of northern Israel comes to help. With Gideon, you have that locust that Israel was brought very low. Oh, and the other thing that's really kind of the excuse for doing this was that we kind of had been talking about how did they become judges. What phrases describe that? And so, with Othniel, the Lord raised up. That's, you know, all we're kind of told there. With Ehud, the Lord raised up. With Barak, you know, it was Deborah who says, the Lord has commanded you. I think what Marty, you kind of mentioned, it sounds like he already knew that he was supposed to be doing these things. But that Deborah had to go up to him and says, listen, the Lord has commanded you to go. I mean, that's kind of when I read the passage. That's kind of the way I read it. So, you know, the Lord raised up, the Lord raised up, the Lord has commanded. Okay. Gideon, very much an angel of the Lord having to come to him, right? Show him those signs to get him into play there. I had debated off being Abimelech there, but really there wasn't enough room to have the picture small enough. If I'd put in Abimelech, y'all would have had to have binoculars. So I decided not to do that. But here with Jephthah, it was the elders of Gilead that kind of came to him and said, you know, lead us. But we have the case, though, where the Spirit of the Lord came on it, right? And it's sort of kind of when you look and the elder said, you know, lead us, you know, that kind of there was a vow to the Lord or there was promises. It kind of the Lord is mentioned in that verse there. James, you look like you have a thought with Jephthah.
Well, not Jephthah. Just I'm looking at the rest, as you mentioned it before, how after God with salvation would come, then there was rest. Then after that, then the people fall back.
Right.
So I'm thinking about like 9/11. So the people that were alive and old enough when the event happened, it changed them and they thought about them.
Yes.
But the kids that came up behind them, it's not really a big deal. So the people, when they were under the servitude, that was more significant, that rest to them. But after that, because I'm looking at the years, 40 years is almost a generation.
Yeah.
So this new crop comes up. It's almost like no information was passed down about what happened. So they just continued on and whatever. So it was never anything really to build on. I mean, you have the mothers that are teaching, but as far as a nation or a tribe of people, it just never carried through.
Right. And to me, it really just says the Levites were failing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, we have, you know, not to say that Micah's Levite is the typical Levite, but he sure, you know, kind of didn't say, oh, this Levite's going to come down and say, you know, the Lord's going to strike you down or anything. He just said, hey, you know,
kind of jump to wherever.
Yeah.
Salary
comes, you know, itching ears, you know, where am I going to get my money? Where am I going to get, you know? So I think, you know, because that was, you know, when we started the class, I kind of was saying, well, where do I see God's word being taught to these people? And again, I was thinking the Levites. And what we've seen through here, there were some mothers, there was somebody teaching these folks that stood up, right? And I guess, again, that's sort of why I like Jephthah, because of anyone we would say he should be the least understanding of the Lord, and seems to be very much, which again, as a result, makes me think, wishfully thinking, as we kind of said, that, you know, it wasn't an actual child sacrifice there. I because of the other. But again, I will agree there is some wishful thinking on that. So, and with Samson, it was right, his parents and an angel came there. So, you know, we kind of have, you know, it was sort of just kind of a basic kind of question when we started. But I think it's been a very useful thing as we've gone through the class. And I really appreciate a lot of y'all comments and thoughts as we've gone through, because things I wasn't really thinking of kind of bringing up or tracking through the class have picked up and has helped me understand the book better. Yes?
This is just a crazy idea. We didn't deserve to submit it to, but if you look at the tribes they're from, they're not the major tribes. Ophni is the only one from Judah.
Right.
Even Ephraim, which is going to become the kind of the troublesome, is finally a northern tribe leader. It's really Deborah and maybe Ephah, but the rest are like from Manasseh, who is the subservient son, as Joseph switched the hands, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But Manasseh under Ephraim.
Right.
And then you look at all the Issachar and others, you know.
Yeah,
maybe, yeah, right. So maybe there's a message there that God picks our, you know, his deliverers from, you know, unlikely places. There is, of course, in the latter part, that whole business about Benjamin and Judah and all that, where they're highlighted. But, I mean, Dan, you know, that's Samson.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of them.
And it, I mean,
it seems like Gideon even makes the point that, hey, I'm from the Levi family of Manasseh, you know, so imagine that.
Yeah. And that, I think there's a good, I would agree with you that it isn't necessarily the most likely place, because again, and it's a lesson it teaches, okay, the ultimate deliverer, the ultimate savior, was he born in a palace? No, a manger. So, it just, and I think part of it is that
pride, right? Pride gets in our way of following God way too often. And so it's from humble beginnings we often realize where strength comes from. Okay, y'all got through that all right, right? Hopefully. So, anyway, sorry, we're kind of just, all right, yeah, well. Okay, so again, in those days, yeah, sorry, I mean, I'm sorry, I know we went through, y'all, I will get the slides up at least on the, with the recordings eventually. But, you know, they're heroes of faith, right? I mean, when we really look at it, and the author of Hebrews was really great, that assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And what was the people's problems? They couldn't see the Lord. So they wanted to be like the people round about them. And just got them in all sorts of messes. And who wants to be like a Canaanite king who kills all of his brothers? I mean, that's bunch of thorns. When you're following those examples, you're following thorn bushes. And so, you know, that kind of example is given there. And then there's kind of a flipping there in the order. But it's, you know, by faith they conquered kingdoms, they enforced justice, were made strong out of weakness. Kind of, again, Mari's, these were not the strong tribes. Because it became mighty in war, put armies to flight, right? I mean, that's what we think of with Gideon, right? They all fly. That's what we think of Barak and Jephthah. And, you know, when 300 foxes on fire in your fields, you kind of go the other way. It just, again, the power of the author of Hebrews in reminding them. And then as we spent time, you just really, they're not perfect people, but they had that faith when the Lord, and again, it wasn't easy. It wasn't just a rollover to say, oh, the Lord's with me. I'm going to do these things. I mean, because they had to leave. They had to get these other people to say, come on, the Lord is with us. This was just kind of a geography. I tried to put pins and stuff where these different events are, like with Gilgal. Remember, that was the first camp. So it kind of mentions those stones, those idols, but even one translation has it as quarries. The other thing to think of that is, again, those 12 stones were set up there. So I'm not quite sure on those translations, but it was at that place. And then the hill country of Ephraim just gets mentioned over and over again. So here, kind of, if the bell rings, it's not the end of the world.
I have a question. Isn't that what Elizabeth led?
Huh?
The hill country of Ephraim?
Yes. So, and that's, okay, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah. So again, it's mentioned there. So the author, again, of Judges, you know, Levi doesn't turn out too well. You know, did not drive out. I mean, Ephraim is the one, right? It's interesting. Because it did conquer, you know, Bethel, but it didn't get Gezer out. It helped Ehud. It helped Deborah. You know, it helped Gideon, but complained. It complained to Jephthah, and then a bunch of them got killed. And then, you know, it was the home of Micah. So, you know, kind of, again, the author is kind of, I think, trying to get the people who are living in those first days of like Saul to kind of understand some things.
Of course, it became the home of Jeroboam.
Of the whole split. So, okay. So, thank y'all very much for a great class. I really appreciate all your input.